نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. I want you to be comfortable with me. You okay? Oh, you believe, fear Allah to the best of your ability, fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I would like to welcome all of you to this class, inshallah. I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today, inshallah, this is our 39th class in the book, Bulugh al-Maram. And since last week, we had started to discuss the subject concerning Hajj, pilgrimage, which is the fifth pillar of Islam, which is required by every Muslim. Our discussion last week was out of the book, Bulugh al-Maram, which was a general introduction, preparation for Hajj, and other things like advice that for everybody who planning to make Hajj. I will encourage the brothers and sisters who planning to go for Hajj this year, and they didn't attend the class last week, they try to obtain the tape and listen to it for several times, inshallah, to have the proper preparation for Hajj. Inshallah, the intention, as I explained before, that we're going to be dealing with the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. And we're going to go with a hadith which in this book, and after we finish, inshallah, the chapter concerning Hajj from this book. If there is any other things not been discussed or the book didn't cover it, we'll cover it from other books, inshallah. In the meantime, I'm trying to collect more pictures and I had one movie or one video tape concerning Hajj, although that it has some kind of some mistake, but inshallah the intention is to show it to you and show you the correction also about this action. So we, if anybody have a video about Hajj or any picture or anything, we would like to collect it and make sure you put your name about anything that you bring it here. So after we finish the course, inshallah, you will get your material back. As I said, this is our second class concerning Hajj. This constitutes class number 39, and this is the first class for album number 2 from the book Bulugh al-Maram. Today, which is Tuesday, approximately the 16th of Shawwal, for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 2nd of February for the year 1999. Again, we're talking about Hajj, and for those who have the book Bulugh al-Maram, please refer to page number 244, and we started with the first hadith, which hadith number 579. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: العمرة إلى العمرة كفارة لما بينهما، والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. حديث reported by أبو هريرة may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us al-umrah ila al-umrah, making umrah and another umrah. The second umrah will be expiation and forgiveness as a means to clean the sin that happened between the first umrah and the second umrah. So this is one of the means to cleanse ourselves from sins by performing umrah. So let's assume, as example, you want to make umrah during the month of Ramadan, and now it's time for Hajj, so you will go and make umrah. So that between the two umrah, whatever sin that you have committed will be forgiven by the will of Allah. Let's say that somebody went 2 years ago to make umrah, and now this year he will go for umrah. Now the second umrah will be expiation between whatever happened between this umrah and the umrah that he did it 2 years ago. Inshallah, I will go in details later on about what is umrah, but it is some performance of certain duties and obligation, which the best and the shortest way that I can describe it to you is like a mini Hajj. Okay, so you're going to make tawaf, make sha'i, we go in details, but basically you have to go there and perform this certain duty and obligation. The main issue that we try to focus on it in this hadith, that umrah became a means of forgiveness. And this should encourage us that we try to make as much as umrah as we can. And this is one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for the Muslims to cleanse their sins. Nevertheless, we shouldn't feel sorry if we don't have the money or the means to go to Mecca, because alhamdulillah, Islam is so beautiful, and Islam is for everybody, not only for those who have the money to go to Mecca to make umrah, they'd be forgiven. One of the means, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that when you finish making your obligatory salah, you say subhanallah 33, alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33, and after this you say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa la alhamdu ala kulli shay'in qadir, one time. As a result of glorifying Allah and praising Allah and doing this zikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this as a means of forgiveness for your sins. Okay? And you do it again, the next prayer will be a means of forgiveness for your sins also. وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورِ Excellent and acceptable Hajj, Hajj which is free from arguments, fighting, debates, all bad things, acceptable Hajj, has no reward except paradise. وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورِ Acceptable, decent, good Hajj, that you try your best to keep your limbs on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, your eye, your hand, everything, you try to be doing it everything right, you don't disturb anybody. So this is called acceptable and rewarded excellent Hajj. The reward for it, nothing except Jannah, paradise, inshallah. As I said, the hadith is authentic. The second hadith which he reported by Aisha, hadith number 580. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله على النساء جهاد؟ قال نعم عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيه الحج والعمرة. رواه أحمد وابن ماجة واللفظ له. The hadith reported by Aisha, mother of the believer, may Allah be pleased with her, رضي الله عنها. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and others, and the hadith is authentic. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, questioned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there any obligatory jihad on women? Are women obligated to perform combat duty, carry, wear, fatigue, march, carry whipping, indulge in the battlefield? Is this obligatory on them? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, yes, but their jihad is a jihad which the tribe has no fighting or killing in it. It is a jihad, it is a struggle, it is trying the utmost of your ability to please Allah and fighting against your desire. Yes, there is a jihad, but not what is known to be obligatory on men, that they have to face the enemy face to face and indulge in fighting and killing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one, he counts the Hajj to be a form of jihad. Number two, the hadith shows that fighting in the cause of Allah is not obligatory on women. Also, from this hadith, we learn the great reward that women will gain as a result of making Hajj, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered it to be a jihad. What kind of jihad? That is no fighting in it, no killing. Said al-hajj wal-umrah, is to perform hajj and umrah. This is their jihad. This doesn't deny that women can participate in the battlefield sometimes if the imam of the Islamic State permitted them. Okay, and their jihad or their participation will be in the back of the lines by carrying the wounded soldiers and bringing water and supplies to the army. Okay, so jihad is not a fighting, is not a must, is not obligatory in women. Women can do it if the Imam of the Islamic State, the Khalifa, permitted them. And if he did so, that their participation will be in a different form, by carrying supplies to the army and taking care of the wounded Muslim soldiers. Nevertheless, this does not give them excuse to take the hijab off or to shorten their clothes. They still with their hijab. If it comes to be a matter of emergency and that the woman has to protect the leader of the army, as example, while he's there because the other people ran away, she can do so, like some of the Sahaba women. They defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they fought in front of him. Hadith number 581 عن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعرابي فقال يا رسول الله أخبرني عن العمرة أواجبة هي؟ قال فقال لا وأن تعتمر خير لك. رواه أحمد والترمذي. And the hadith we're going to leave it alone is not authentic. The next hadith also is going to be left because it's weak. So hadith, the next one after this, page number 245, hadith number 582 is also weak. We're going to leave it alone. We go to hadith number 583. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقي رطبا بالروحاء فقال من القوم؟ قالوا المسلمون. فقالوا من أنت؟ قال رسول الله. فرفعت إليه امرأة صبية فقالت ألهذا حج؟ قال نعم ولك أجر. رواه مسلم. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met a caravan with a place called Ar-Rawha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioned him, who are there? And they said, we are Muslims. That because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was traveling, and these people traveling, he didn't meet them before, he didn't know them, and he asked them who they are. They replied that they are what? They are Muslims. This is the identification of any Muslim who believes in Allah, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the book of Allah, the day of judgment. We are Muslims. This is what Allah has given to us. This is our name, Muslim. And they questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it seemed also the possibility that they never met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is he? So they said, Rasulullah, I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this moment, a woman lifted up a baby or a child that she was carrying with her, and she questioned him, is there Hajj upon this child? Is Hajj will be acceptable from this child, since he was a baby, okay? He didn't reach the age of puberty yet, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, and to you is a reward. What we understand from this, that the parents will be rewarded for whatever good deed their children do, because they are the ones who accompany them, train them, teach them, spend on them for them to be able to do this obligation. Okay? This is one thing. The second thing, the necessity of parents of involving their kids in the ibadah of Allah and to try to encourage them. Also from this hadith, we learn that when people don't know, they're supposed to ask the learned one or the scholar. Because this woman, when she understood that this man is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked him concerning is there Hajj for this child. But nevertheless, that if the parent takes the child, which is a baby or a child, he didn't reach the age of puberty, and to perform Hajj with this child is acceptable, and it's still nevertheless, when this child reaches the age of puberty, he has to make Hajj again. So actually the Hajj that's been done on the child while he was little is like optional, okay? But the fariḍa, the obligatory hajj, that he has to do it in himself. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me that I made the first hajj when I was 5 years old. Alhamdulillah. I went with my mother and my brother. In page number 246, hadith number 584. وعنه, that means also reported by Ibn Abbas. كان الفضل Ibn Abbas رديف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجاءت امرأة من خثعم فجعل الفضل ينظر إليها وتنظر إليه وجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصرف وجه الفضل إلى الشق الآخر فقالت يا رسول الله إن فريضة الله على عبادي في الحج أدركت أبي شيخا كبيرا لا يثبت على الراحلة أفأحج عنه؟ قال نعم وذلك في حجة الوداع متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayh that al-Fadl, the son of Ibn Abbas, he was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his camel or in his donkey, whatever that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding on, and if I'm not mistaken, I think with a camel. But whatever ride the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had, the Fadl was radif, that means was sitting behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the ride. And a woman from Khat'an, from the tribe, from the people of Khat'an, came to question the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-Fadl, he starts stare at her and look to her. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kept taking his face and turning it to the other side. Okay? Because it's not permissible for a man to be staring at the woman. So, Al-Fadl understand, although that he was in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he was a Sahabi, nevertheless, he's not an angel, he's a human being. And this woman was so beautiful. And also we learn from this hadith that she was not covering her face. That because maybe she don't believe that covering is obligatory, or because that she has ihram. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. How many hajj did the Prophet make, Habib? How many? How many hajj did the Prophet make? Only one. Only one, okay? And call hajj what? Hajjat al-wada'a, like you say to somebody, bye-bye, see you, okay? Because after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the only time he made hajj, and this was wada'a, and he had indicated to his ummah in this hajj that possibility, I don't see you next year. And exactly this what had happened, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لا سنروح للعمر وبعدين منعوهم اعتمروا. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what we understand from this hadith, as I indicate number one, that a woman in her ihram, she her ihram in her face and her hand, okay, she don't have to put a different clothes from the regular clothes that she wears. But her ihram will be in her face and her hands. That means she will expose the face and this cause the face. Okay, the neck is not part of the face. The earrings or the ears is not part of the face. This has to be covered. This is aura. Number two, that a person, even if it's during Hajj and you see something objectionable or something wrong Islamically, you should at least speak against it or hate it with your heart. And if you can change it, you change it with your hand. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not allow al-Fadl continue looking to this woman. But he took his hand and turned it to his face, and he turned it to the other side. Also we learn from this that we should ask the learned one concerning things that we don't know. because the woman asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also we learn that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this deen, this religion, easy and flexible, and that will take the people situation in consideration. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, he can do hajj in behalf of your father, because he's an old man. We understand that a person can make hajj in behalf of the other person, but the condition here is what? That the person that you make in hajj in his behalf or her behalf, they could not, because a health reason, they could not make the hajj. So in this condition, you can go and make the hajj in their behalf. Otherwise, we could not say because somebody is busy, he has a final exam, or he don't want to leave his company, or he maybe lose some money, so he's so busy, he take one of his employees and give him the ticket and say, you go and make hajj in my behalf. No, you could not do this, okay? Page number 247, hadith 585, وعن امرأة من جهينة. This is my tribe, جهينة. A woman from جهينة جاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت, إن أمي نذرت أن تحج فلم تحج حتى ماتت أفأحج عنها؟ قال نعم حجي عنها. أرأيت لو كان على أمك دين أكنت قاضيتي؟ أقضوا الله فالله أحق بالوفاء. رواه البخاري. This woman from the tribe of Zuhaina, one of the tribes of Arabia, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said that her mother had made a vow that she will perform hajj. Okay, that she made a promise, she made a vow that she will go to perform hajj. But something happened that her mother passed away before she fulfilled her promise that she promised to Allah. Can I do hajj in her behalf? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yes, of course. And he gave example. If your mother as example owes somebody a debt, are you going to pay the debt of your mother? She said, yes, of course. If my mother owes somebody money or whatever it is, and my mother died, passed away, I feel obligated because I'm her daughter to do this in her behalf. So he told her, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's most worthy of paying his debt. Because she had made this obligation on herself to perform the hajj, so this became now a debt on her towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since she died, now it's for you to do this, you can do so. Tell me, supposing your mother had a debt, would you pay it? Pay the debt due to Allah, for Allah deserves most the payment of his debt. The hadith is authentic. Hadith number 586, وَعَنْهُ, let me still continue talking about Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما صبي حج ثم بلغ الحنث فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى وأيما عبد حج ثم أعتق عليه أن يحج حجة أخرى. رواه ابن أبي شيبة والبيهقي. حديث is authentic. The حديث is صحيح. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that if any child, whatever the age, before age of puberty, perform hajj, so when he reaches the age of puberty, he needs to perform the hajj again, and this is what I had spoke about it in the beginning of the class. The same thing, a person in captivity, right hand possesses his slave, and his master free him or her, although they have performed hajj before, they still have to make the hajj again. because whatever has been done before is considered is not the obligatory Hajj. They have to do it willingly in their own, with their own ability and capacity, inshallah. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 587. وعنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب يقول لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. فقام رجل فقال يا رسول الله إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة وإن اكتتبت في غزوة كذا وكذا. قال انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. متفق عليه. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhuma. The hadith is authentic that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given ceremony, given khutbah, and say no man should be with a woman in privacy with no mahram. Doesn't matter now if this woman is, this man is your boss, or this woman is your secretary, or this woman is your first cousin, that you grow together in the same house, doesn't matter. If it's not a woman that's forbidden for you to marry her under any condition, you could not be with her without mahram. Give example, your sister, your mother, your aunt, okay, your father, wife, okay, your daughter, those people you can be with them at any time because this is maharim. That means that you could not marry them under any condition, regardless if they are single or married. You could not marry your mother, you could not marry your daughter, you could not marry your sister, okay? So any other woman out of your maharim, okay, it has to be mahram there for this woman in your gathering, okay? What is mahram? We just said the mahram, a man who could not marry this woman, that he's forbidden. Mahram, that means he's forbidden to marry her. So if there is a woman that you're going to be with her in privacy, her father has to be there. Her son has to be there, okay? Her brother has to be there. Otherwise, it's forbidden for you to be with her in privacy, okay? You could not be in a room together with the door closed and no third party. No, I'm not talking about third party, okay? Because with the third party, Islam did not talk about third party. And this is misunderstanding. Say, okay, I bring another sister with me and this is called a third party. Or I bring my best friend with me, this is called a third party. Okay? And how many problems and how many things happen between body people and all the things. So the Prophet said a mahram. So you want to meet with this woman, her mahram has to be with her. Her brother, her son, her father, her husband, okay? ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. And a woman is not supposed, that means it's forbidden, for her to travel without a mahram. Again, a woman could not initiate a trip. Doesn't matter this trip, she can make it in a day or make it in hours. Okay? Whatever call a trip, call a traveling, leaving the city limit of your town, this is called a traveling. Like leaving Columbia City, leaving the skirts, leaving the city limit, Lexington and what you call from the other side, Lower Richland. So this is what you call knowing as being Columbia, South Carolina. You could not go, as example, to Charleston or Charlotte, okay, by yourself. You have to have a mahram. Any suffer, any, doesn't matter. Say by aeroplane or by car, you walk in or doesn't matter. Say things, this day is safe. Okay, what about my mahram? Put me in the aeroplane in New York, and after this my other mahram meet me in Jeddah. Okay, and this airline doesn't stop at any place. Even if everything is safe, still you're breaking the law. You're breaking the Islamic law. No woman supposed to travel without a mahram. A man said, O Prophet of Allah, my wife had attended, or she in her way to go to make Hajj, and I volunteer myself to fight in the cause of Allah in the battle such and such. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, leave the battle, leave, take your name off, okay, of this tablet of battlefield, and go and be with your wife for her Hajj. Okay? So some of the scholars, according to this hadith, they forbade the woman to travel even for Hajj without a mahram. And they said that she don't have the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِمَنْ اِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Okay, so those who have the means, only Hajj will be okay for them, or obligatory on them, if they have the means. And they count the mahram to be one of the means. Anyway, there is no any authentic information from the Book of Allah or the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show clear direct cut that a woman can go to Hajj without a mahram. So from where we got this information? We got it from Umar ibn al-Khattab. Okay? That he took the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death and he went for Hajj. Okay? And this is what the scholar, they call it al-Rifqa al-Amina. It says she company that she will be with women like her at all time, and she will be safe, that means no indulge or no mixing with men. So this been exercised by one of the Sahaba, and the ijma' of the Sahaba or the agreement of the Sahaba, all of them being quiet on this action or this act that been done by Umar, this what made it to be understood. And only if a woman didn't make her obligatory Hajj, this will be exception. Okay? And this is the only travel that we have in Al-Islam. This is the only travel that we have in Al-Islam that can be acceptable and supported by some kind of authentic information from Al-Islam. Only for Hajj. The second condition, that it have women with her in her company at all time. Number three, that she didn't perform Hajj before. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Hadith number 588. وعنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع رجلا يقول لبيك عن شبهما. قال أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من شبرمة؟ قال أخ لي أو قريب لي. قال حججت عن نفسك؟ قال لا. قال حج عن نفسك ثم حج عن شبرمة. رواه أبو داود. The hadith is authentic. This man was saying labbaika an shubruma. Okay? Oh Allah, I'm here in behalf of shubruma. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard him, he said, who is this person that you make it hajj in his behalf? He said, he is a relative of mine. He said he's a relative of mine. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioned him, did you make your own Hajj first? He said, no. He said, you have to make your Hajj first, and after this you can make Hajj in behalf. So we understand that the permissibility of doing Hajj in behalf of other persons. Number two, the person who performs Hajj in behalf of somebody, he has to fulfill his obligation about himself first. He has to make his own Hajj first before he be able to make Hajj in behalf of anybody else. Hadith number 589, وعنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن الله كتب عليكم الحج فقام الأقرع بن حابس فقال أفي كل عام يا رسول الله قال لو قلتها لوجبت الحج مرة فمن زاد فهو تطوع رواه الخمسة غير الترمذي وأصله في مسلم والحديث من حديث أبي هريرة والحديث صحيح. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has prescribed and ordained pilgrimage on you. So Imam by name Al-Aqra ibn Habish, he stood up and asked questions of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, is it obligatory annually, O Messenger of Allah, do we have to do every year make Hajj? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I said yes, now will be obligatory on all of you. Hajj is obligatory on the Muslim once in their lifetime. Whosoever do more than this will be optional. Inshallah, we go to chapter 2, and after this we're going to start, so we don't keep you too late today. The second chapter concerning Niqat or station, page number 249, Bab al-Mawaqit, hadith number 590, عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقت لأهل المدينة ذا الحليفة ولأهل الشام الجحفة ولأهل نجد قرن المنازل ولأهل اليمن يلملم هن لهن ولمن أتى عليهن من غيرهن ممن أراد الحج والعمرة ومن كان دون ذلك فمن حيث أنشأ حتى أهل مكة من مكة. متفق عليه. This hadith was reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a miqat. Miqat, the people of Medina coming from the Medina of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the place called Dhul Hulaifa. And for the people coming from Damascus, from Asham, from Syria, will be Al-Juhfa. The people coming from Najd will be Qarn al-Manazil. People of Yemen will be Yalamlam. And said, this is the station for those people who live in this area, or those who pass by this area coming from countries behind. And those people who inside this station, their destination or their station will be wherever they are. Even people of Mecca will be in Mecca. They perform their ihram from there. What we mean by Niqat? Niqat is a place that you are not supposed to pass by without performing your ihram and making your attention, and after this you can pass by this. So this is a station. This is the name of cities, okay? This area here, like Qarn al-Manazil and Yalamlum and Zafir and all these places, Dhul Hulaifa. So whenever a person coming by land, if you're coming by aeroplane or you're coming walking or you're driving, whatever it is, whenever you reach any of these points, Juhfa or Dhul Hulaifa or Zat Irq or Qarn al-Manazil or Yalamlum, if you are living here, okay, you don't go until you make a stop here in this area and you're going to change your clothes, make your intention, and after this you proceed. If you're coming from Yemen, you have to make a stop in this area here. and the destination at 45 kilo, 95 kilo, that irq, and 250 if you're coming from Dhul Hulaitha and the Jahfa. Is captains, pilots and ships and everybody, they aware about it, and they will let you know, and you will find this is clear mark. The last hadith in this chapter is hadith which we're going to leave it because it is weak. The next chapter which have only one hadith, if you don't mind we can take it, and after this we stop here inshallah. باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عام حجة الوداع، فمنا من أهل بعمرة، ومنا من أهل بحج وعمرة، ومنا من أهل بحج، وأهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحج. فأما من أهل بعمرة فحل عند قدومه، وأما من أهل بحج أو جمع بين الحج والعمرة فلم يحل حتى كان يوم النحر. متفق عليه. And the hadith is authentic. Okay. This hadith which is reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, he says that we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the year of Hajj al-Wada'. The year where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made his Hajj. Some of us, they made intention for Umrah. Some of us, they made intention Hajj and Umrah. Some of us, they made intention for Hajj only. As for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his intention was for the Hajj. For those people who made intention for Umrah, after they arrived and performed their Umrah, they became in Hajj. That means they changed their clothes and they have the normal procedure for life, which explains this. As for those who made intention for Hajj, for Hajj and Umrah, they did not change their clothes, they did not go to the state of Ihlal until the day of Nahr, the day after Arafah. Okay. Now, we have three things here. We have Hajj, which is Ifrad, that only make Hajj only. Okay? And we have Tamattu', you may call it like enjoyment. And this to make Umrah and Hajj together during the time of Hajj. But you will make the Umrah and after this you finish it, wear your regular clothes, and when the time for Hajj you will make another attention for Hajj. It's called Tamattu'. Why it's called Tamattu'? I understand because after you finish your Umrah you don't have to stay with the same rules and regulation and restriction of Hajj and Umrah. Okay? And there is Quran, okay, that make Hajj and Umrah together the same time, but you did not, you will keep the same restriction until you finish the whole thing. Little bit explanation, I know. If I attempt to make Umrah, this is easy. You make intention for Umrah, and you have the Ihram, you have the Talbiyah, you have the intention, you have the station. You go, you make tawaf, you make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and after this you shave your head or you shorten your hair, now your Umrah is over. Now you can take these towels that you wear, take them off, okay, and you can wear your regular clothes, okay? This is the Umrah. Now when the time for Hajj comes, it comes after a month, after a week, after a day, it depends on when did you arrive there, okay? Now you will initiate a new intention for Hajj. and you bought the towel, the closet for Hajj, okay? And you will go to Arafah and you do this rituals, okay? Now, if a person go with Hajj only, or Hajj and Umrah together, Quran, that you do, from the day you go until the day of Eid, you have to stay with the same restriction of Hajj. Some people, they go during this month. Okay, in the beginning of this month. Some people will go the next month. Because you have like Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and 10 from Dhul-Hijjah. Okay? So you have approximately about 10 weeks. All this calls the time for Hajj. So let's imagine that somebody went in the end of Shawwal with Quran or with Hajj, that after he made the tawaf and the sa'i, he will stay with the same restriction. He could not cut his hair, could not cut your fingernails, you could not change this clothes to a regular clothes, okay? And you will stay like this for almost 6 weeks, okay? So the best is that a person makes a matter. What does it mean? That you will go with intention of Umrah. And when you go, you do the Umrah, after you finish the Umrah, now you will cut your hair and change your clothes and you live a regular life until the time for Hajj comes. And when the time of Hajj, you will initiate the intention again for Hajj. This is only a little idea about the difference between the things, but basically all what I want you to understand from this new chapter, that there's three things that you can do. You have the choice between anyone. You can make Umrah, you can initiate Hajj later on, you can make Umrah and Hajj together, or that you can make Hajj only. Remember these three things. We will go more in details about it later on, inshallah. Okay? And again, I'm sorry for the delay for tonight. It was because the Aqiqah, and inshallah, hopefully that next week will be in time. Our class is supposed to be at 6:30, inshallah. And we start next week with chapter number 4 at page number 251. And this is going to be Bab al-Ihram wa ma yata'allaq bih. Things which are related to Ihram, okay? Maybe we'll take chapter 5 also in this class. I'm trying not to make it too long for you. This will be one class by itself, and after this is two classes, another class. We expected to have three classes more about Hajj. And after this, the fourth and the fifth class will be more details about discussions and questions, and display for some material to see, and I try to bring this movie that you see about Hajj, and maybe we can show you the slideshow that we show in the first introduction class. Sister, you have a question? It's fabulous. For the men, we're going to, next chapter, we're going to speak what is Ihram, how to do Ihram, okay? Special clothes, okay? That you have to wear certain clothes, at least for the men, okay? And the woman, her Ihram will be her face. We explain all these things. That means now you could not pass this station without being in a certain way of your dress, your intention, and your behavior, and what you can do, and what you could not do. All the things called Ihram. Not only the clothes, okay? Because certain action will be forbidden to do. So now when you reach this station, you declare your intention in your heart, and you change this clothes, and now you have restrictions. You could not do it. Starting from this point. Is it clear?
when you're flying in, what you explain, and you don't fly past those points that you're coming up, they're coming from America.
Mm-hmm.
You stop before you get there, or what's the normal?
No, actually, it depends what airline you're taking. Okay, as example, if you're taking Saudi airline, takes you directly to Jeddah, from New York to Jeddah. Okay, so before you arrive, maybe approximately about half an hour. It depends what is the flight coming. Coming this direction, coming this direction. Basically, will be coming. So maybe you're going to have a Jeddah. Okay. Which is talking about 180 miles, as example, okay? So he will announce it. You will have enough time before for you, you can go to the bathroom, change your clothes, things like this. And after this, when he tell you that now we are above this station, you start you saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, and do these things, okay? Some places will go to Jordan, and after this coming back, go to Al Aina. Some people will go from the United States and they go to Medina first. They don't go to Jeddah. So when you go to Medina, okay, now when you stop in Medina, you're going to be there for 3, 4, 5 days. Okay, and you pray in the mosque of the Prophet. And now when you leave Medina, okay, you will stop. The bus will stop there. There is a place which you're going to change your clothes, Abar Ali, okay. And this will be about, you're talking about maybe four, was it about maybe 3.5 hours before you arrive to Mecca, okay? But it will be told to you that you are in that station for you. So it can be landed if you are in a bus, you'll be in the land, you go change your clothes and come back. If you're in the air, okay, you're going to be prepared before you reach this destination. Yes. What is the condition? Okay, we said that this has to be her first Hajj. It's not to understand like second and third Hajj. Because she obligated to make Hajj once in her life. Okay, this one thing. The second thing, it has to be company with women. Not one woman with men. Okay? But it has to be a group of women, and that all of them will be with each other together at all the time. So it's not going to be mixing or practicing between this woman and men. So it has to be accompanied by a Muslim group with her. And what else I said? I mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, okay, I have excuse for that. What about you, Bill? Where is the people who are taking notes?
The presence of others, must not have been on high before.
This is one. It has to be in the company of women. Yeah. Yes, 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 because you don't have a mahram. Excuse me? Mahram, mahram.
No, the person that is not Omar. Since you know how Omar, he went with her. He didn't take one only.
He took and understand the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Yeah. So basically, understand that it has to be she accompanied by other women. We said that the only permission, the only condition that she can travel is for Hajj. This number one. Not any other traveling. The second thing that to be the first time for in her life to make Hajj is not the second. The third thing that she has to be in a company of other women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. So we close here inshallah and we continue with our classes concerning Hajj. Tuesday coming inshallah at 6:30. JazakAllah khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Are you going to talk to me about the preparation for the group that's going?
Yes.
And we should
yes.
buy sandals or prayer or you know, so we can have a schedule so we can kind of check off that you've got everything.
Inshallah, I'm planning to go for a trip to meet with the brother who planning for this